Great. So if you haven't had enough dollar spot, here we go again. We're looking at specifically SCHI resistance this time, screening in vitro and in plante. So dollar spot, again, if you're not familiar already, it's found worldwide, has a wide host range, so we're really interested in it for its economic importance in the golf industry. It's an ascomycete, as we've talked about, and it's closely related to things like botrytis, which we'll talk about later. There's a key difference here, is when you're working with things like botrytis, you can use a spore. Unfortunately, with Sclerotinia homeocarpa, we have to rely on mycelial production. For the disease cycle in dollar spot, you're looking at going from stroma to mycelium, and it's just going to infect the leaf and form stroma again in the plant tissue over the winter. So in 2016, at our field trial base camp in Raleigh, we saw some SCHI failure, and it was unusual because it wasn't just one SCHI, it was all the SCHIs that were involved in that particular field trial. In the past, we had seen lack of control or failure in any one of the products, but this particular instance, it was all of them. If you see in that picture, that's just one plot, and all of the borders, you can really tell which ones were treated with your SDHIs. So here we have our untreated control, and then one that's treated with flux peroxide. And we have one treated with penthiopyrad, and then boscalid. And again, you can just see just stark differences between where the SDHIs were applied and the other fungicides involved in the trial. So here we have some statistical differences, some real concrete numbers for you. In the green, we have our SCHIs. Up top is our untreated control, and then the rest of the chemistries involved in the trial. So pretty well grouped together and, you know, a lot of dollar spot. So these SCHIs, what are they? What do they do? They're succinate dehydrogenase inhibitors, so they're involved with the respiratory system. And just group 7, and there are multiple chemical groups involved in this fungicide class. So we're particularly focusing on the fluxapyroxad, penthiopyrad, and boscalid. So take note that they're in different chemical groups, the boscalid versus the fluxapyroxad and penthiopyrad. All right, so our objectives for this were to come up with an assay where we can detect decreased sensitivity or even resistance to SDHIs in Sclerotinia homeocarpa. So first, we wanted to look at in vitro sensitivity on amended media. Last year, we tried just a regular strength potato dextrose auger, and this year, it was suggested to us to do some minimal media studies. So we're going to present data on our quarter-strength PDA studies, and we're currently in the works to try to do some water auger studies, if that gives you any clue about how the quarter-strength went. And then we're also looking at doing growth chamber studies. I have some data to present to you about one that we've done an initial trial, and we're going to do that with sterilized soil because we also believe that we're looking at maybe some alternate environmental factors, whether it's to do with the transition zone we're stuck in North Carolina and the performance of these fungicides, or if there's microbial activity, what have you, pH, we're not sure yet. So we're trying to isolate just the pathogen here. So isolate collection methods, I just took 10 leaf blades from each of the plots, which I'll go over in a second, how we set up the entire trial. 10 leaf blades, and each from a different infection center within each plot. I took them from the untreated control plot, fluxaparoxide, penthiopyrad, and boscalid treated plots. They were plated on antibiotic amended potato dextrose auger plates, and hyphal tips were subcultured into pure culture. We chose randomly 24 isolates. We made sure we got 2 from each plot that we selected from, and we used those for our amended media assays. So here's how the trial was set up. You'll see later in the presentation that a lot of isolates are called, maybe 106. 106, for example, would be row 1 and 6 over, that first blue X you see on the bottom left. This was a randomized complete block trial, so each row is a replication. So our amended media assays. Again, we used quarter-strength PDA this time. We grew them out for 3 days initially, and from that growing edge of mycelium, we took plugs and plated them on 65-millimeter plates with the same quarter-strength PDA, but amended with different concentrations of the SCHI, which was either pentheopyrad, flux peroxide, or boscalid, and we did use product formulations of these. All the plates were incubated for 40 hours at 25°C, and at that time we took measurements and two perpendiculars with the calipers. So this is just one run of one fungicide. This isn't even all the plates because they don't really fit that well in the hood without me knocking them over. I've done that a lot. So this is about 500 plates, give or take. So two runs with all three fungicides, we're looking at about 3,000 plates every time I have to do this. So it's a whole lot of fun. I highly recommend it. So this is kind of what I'm looking at when I'm measuring these radial growths. As you can see, it doesn't really seem to be bothered in most cases until we start getting to around 10 parts per million. And then around 100 parts per million, we see a more significant inhibition. So I have tried to do some EC50 values, but when we have curves like this where the fungus is actually benefiting from the presence of low levels of the fungicides, it's really upsetting the program I was using. So we're working with statisticians to try to come up with a more accurate estimate of these EC50 values. So today, we'll be representing these with our just growth inhibition curves. So the one that has the error bars there, called BHG, I actually tested four control isolates. One was collected from Lake Wheeler in 2003 prior to most SCHI use. And then we have three isolates that were collected from various roughs in the Northeast and North Carolina. For this, I used the BHG isolate because that's the one we found about in the middle of all the control isolates. What we want to note here is, and I didn't include all the isolates because I don't think you would be able to see anything. I just included the ones that kind of make sense. We see that there are quite a few that have a positive growth response at low levels of fungicide-amended media. And we actually have Dr. Joe Roberts is working on some molecular work, and he's found some mutations in the SDHC gene. And they do seem to correlate with these particular isolates that are benefiting from the low levels rather than responding normally or not at all. So that is interesting to note. We're not really done with that yet. So this was boscalid. It's a different story when we get to flux pyroxide. And that's why I pointed out that they were in different chemical groups earlier. Because this one and pentheopyrad really seem to respond barely at all. So I put some of those same mutated gene isolates in this graph, and you just don't see a whole lot of differences here. Nothing really standing out to me. So we're wondering if that's maybe environmental factors involved in these two, or if they're just simply responding even more poorly to the in vitro style assays. So we took this to a growth chamber assay. So we did implante. We did 90-10 mixture, sand and peat, to fill a lot of containers. And we seeded it with pencross variety of creeping pentgrass, which is a susceptible variety to dollar spot. We trimmed it twice weekly, 1.3 centimeters, which turns out to be around half an inch. And we do have space constrictions, and we had to wait a little longer to get our growth chambers, so they grew out for about 12 weeks. And after that, they were sprayed the same methods and rates that the original trial saw, that we saw the failure in 2016. So we used 16 isolates, and these were just random from the original 24 that were involved in vitro, so we could compare that data. And we used the same 4 isolates, 3 from various roughs and 1 from our research farm in 2003. We inoculated rye grain as our way to inoculate the containers eventually. And this was autoclaved, inoculated with just plugs of the isolate grown out on agar and stored in ambient light 2 weeks. We did see, unfortunately, some stroma formation in most of our SDHI event collected isolates, which was interesting to note. The one that did not form stroma was 106.2, which we'll talk about in a second. These rye grains were used to infest each container, and we placed it about halfway down the canopy, sterilizing between isolates. Each chemical treatment was inoculated with each isolate, and 4 containers were receiving each treatment. So they're placed in a box because we don't have humidity controls in our growth chambers right now. In about a month, I should be getting those so I can get some better experiments running. But we did place them in blocks, 4 blocks of randomized complete block design, but each block was a plastic bin. At night, at around 7 p.m., the lid would go on the container, and around 9 in the morning, the lid would come off to maintain high humidity throughout the night. These plants were watered twice daily with water, deionized in the morning and afternoon, and they were under lights from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. We measured disease severity, turf quality, and I took actual measurements of the infection centers at 0, 3, 7, and 10. So I'm just going to show you some pictures. This was the only significant isolate that we found, 106.2, and I'm comparing it to the isolate that we used for the in vitro control earlier. So you can see definitely that there's some infection happening in our Bosclid containers, and this was a middle-of-the-road picture. It seemed significant to me, and when we graphed it out, it was the only one that was able to overcome those differences between our blocks. So we did see some relatively concrete results for maybe resistance to at least Bosclid in this one isolate, which we'll be repeating later with better humidity controls, I hope. So our conclusions is that maybe our in vitro assays aren't going to be the best indicator for these SDHI fungicides when it comes to Sclerotinia homeocarpa, and we might have to rely on more time-consuming methods like Implante, but also our molecular analyses look promising so far. This is a work in progress, so we'll see how it pans out, but I'm really hopeful that'll work when we repeat our Implante results and we go further into this molecular analysis. So I'd like to thank my advisor, my committee members, all my lab mates, Dr. Jim Kearns, my advisor, and the Turf Center, which is helping fund all of this. Okay.
All right, thank you.
Yes.
There's a number of products in this class of chemistry. Have you looked at just the effects of soil resistance, the variable risk, or development resistance?
He has asked about the effects of the longevity of the products in this chemical class on the soil. We haven't looked into that yet. That's something we're planning on looking into, definitely. But yeah, the answer is no, I haven't gotten a chance to yet.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.